hello. Hello online as well. If anybody's watching online, I'm Pastor Ian, the lead pastor here, and just glad to be here, right? As you notice, we're not in the Gospel of John. Decided to take a break from the Gospel of John for a little bit because just feel that, you know, there's some things that God is asking us to go over. Amen? So we're going to start a series today called Why Me? Why Them? Knowing the mission of Christ. And we're going to ask ourselves throughout this series and throughout these sermons, why me? Why does God choose me? Why is God asking me to do things? Why is God wanting a relationship with me? And then we're going to ask a second question, why them? Why is God asking us to go into the community around us? Why is God asking us to be out, to go and make disciples of all nations? So we're going to focus on this throughout this series and just really ask those two questions and answer those questions. So this morning, we're going to be in Ephesians 1. So if you want to grab the Bible in the seat back in front of you, you can. If you want to use your phone, you can. And I'm going to bounce around a little bit. So just know that if you want to just stay in Ephesians 1, that is fine. The verses will be on the screen for you. So starting in verse 4, Ephesians 1, verse 4 through 6 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." So just a little bit of background. I know a few months ago we kind of stepped through, well, actually it was a little more than a few months ago, we stepped through Ephesians. But during Ephesians, it was written by the Apostle Paul while he was under house arrest in Rome, okay? And is believed to be written around 62 AD, okay? Which is around, let's say, 25, 30 years after the crucifixion of Christ. So this letter was addressed to the church in Ephesus, but was intended to be like a circular letter to read and to pass on, not just read and put in your drawer. It was share this information. Continue sharing it with Christians around Ephesus. So in this letter, Paul writes to encourage and strengthen believers in their faith and to give instructions on how to live life worthy of their calling in Christ. So this first thing we're going to go over today is, why me? So in this passage, Paul reminds us that we have been chosen by God for a very specific purpose. In verse 4, when it says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." Because of who God is, in his power, his love, and his wisdom, our response to knowing him in our life should be obedience. And he calls us. He knew us before we knew ourselves. He knew us before our parents knew us. He knew us before we were us. And to say that Christ doesn't love you or that God doesn't love you is crazy. Because he knew you before you knew yourself. And he chose you to live your life. He's not forcing you to acknowledge him and follow him, but he chose you. And that is miraculous. That is something. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows you. You are different than anybody else. Our fingerprint is completely different. But God knows it because He created it. And to me, that's love. So this idea that He chose us before creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. He knew you. He said, this is going to be you. Ian, you're going to be born. And chose that. And then allows me to choose Him. He gives me the ability to choose Him. He doesn't force it upon me. He doesn't say you have to do that. He doesn't make us little robots. He gives us the choice. But He does it in a way to say, you are my child. And once you see that, if you acknowledge me in your life, I will treat you as such. And He chose us for that purpose. And He chose us to be holy and blameless. And then it says, in love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. He loves us so much that He was sent through Jesus Christ, gave us away. Through Jesus Christ, suffering and dying on the cross for our sins, gives us the ability to go to Him and know Him and acknowledge Him and choose Him. So why me? Because He loves me. He loves me so much that He knew me before I knew myself. He loves me so much. Why me? Because He sent His Son to die on the cross, to pay the debt of sins for me. Why me? Because He created me to be in His family if I choose so. But we're not forced. We're not pushed. How is that love if we're forced into something? If you're forced to do something, it's pretty much being a slave to it. How can you love something like that? God wants us to love Him the way that He loves us. And the way to do that is to allow us to freely have the choice to accept Him into our heart. But once we know Him, once we accept Him into our heart, once we say we're Christian, once we pray and accept Him and say, Lord, forgive me for my sins, and we accept Him, and I keep saying that, I understand that, we accept Him. Because I want you guys to know, He's already there waiting for us. But we finally have said yes. But once that happens, we're called to live a life. So in Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 23, you don't have to go there. It should be on the screen if I put it up on the thing. I think I put it up. We'll see. You'll find out. It's a game. You'll never know until it happens or not. So we get instructions for Christian living. So we have this first part that talks to us about before we were Christian. It says in verse 17, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensitivity so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. So without Christ, without the knowledge of Him, we don't have the understanding of His power, love, and wisdom for us. We are ignorant to that understanding. Because He's there. He's ready for the relationship. He's willing. He has already sent his son to pay the price. He is saying, your debt is paid. But you have to accept him. And until that time comes, until you truly know who Christ is, you don't. You're ignorant to the fact. People that are not Christian are basing their understanding of Christ on other human beings, on what the world is telling them, on what Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and however many ones I don't know. They are listening to that to find the identity of Christ. They are looking at people and saying, oh, you're a Christian? No, I don't want any part of that. But it's because they're looking at human. They're not looking at Christ. In order to truly understand who Christ is in your life and how much he loves you, you have to know Christ. You have to go to Christ. And you have to learn from Christ. But once we know and receive God, we are called to love and live differently. So continuing on in verse 20, it says, that, however, is not the way of life you learn. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You see the difference? We're called to live in the way of the Lord. We're called to live differently. When you accept Christ into your heart and start your new life in Christ, you are not supposed to live in the sins that you were living before. Now, are we sinners? Yes. Are we going to make mistakes? Of course. But there's a difference between acting in sin and not worrying about it, or saying, well, it's just me, just human. Oh, well. But once we know Christ, our attitude should change and our mind should shift to go, oh, that's not good. I shouldn't do that again. And we better ourselves and we try to become better. And we try to live our life for Christ. And we try to correct ourselves. That's what in the Wesleyan Church we call progressive sanctification. It's this process that we go through to continually better ourselves and to continually try to live for Christ in our life. So if you're a Christian and you're living a new life in Christ, but you're also allowing your old life, your old desires, your old habits, your old things to come to the forefront of your mind or to your actions, and that's what people see, you are not allowing them to see Christ. You're allowing them to see you in sin. And if you call yourself Christian, but you act as a sinner acts, and you're saying, hey, hi, my name's Ian, I'm a Christian. And it's like, yeah, but weren't you just yelling at so-and-so? Weren't you just talking bad about so-and-so behind their back? Weren't you just yelling at that car across the street? Like, windows are clear, I saw you. Weren't you doing something that was sinful in nature? Yeah, well, yeah. Okay, well, that's what you're showing me that Christians are. That's what you're showing me. But the thing is that we are made alive through Christ. I am a sinner. I am broken. What changed me is Christ lifting me up. What changed me is Christ holding me, being with me, guiding me. I'm still Ian. But what I should be showing others in the world is a progression. Is, hey, you used to be this person. I know. It's crazy, huh? But now you're this person. I know. It's crazy, huh? Let me tell you about Jesus Christ and what he can do for you and what he's done in my life and how he can do the same in yours. You have time to talk? That's living for Christ. So, back to chapter 1, just to kind of go through this. So Paul writes, for he chose us to be in him before creation of the world, to be holy and blameless. And it shows us that God chose us before. And it emphasizes the sovereign choice that God has in our salvation. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to be with him. It's not based on our own merits. It's not based on our own works. It's based on what God did by sending his son. It's based on that action. And he chose us for that. So when people sit there and think, I'm not good enough, God can never love me. You don't know my life behind closed doors. You don't know my life before I met you. God can't love somebody like that. Guess what? He already knew it. He already saw it, and he's already paid for it. So quit holding on to the baggage that you're holding on to that he's already said let go of. But you have to let go. You have to acknowledge him. You have to accept him. So why me? Because he loves me. And in verse 5, he continues that in love predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. His pleasure and will. So we're adopted into God's family through Jesus Christ. And this was part of God's plan all along. That we become children of God through Christ. And it's done out of love. And the accordance of his pleasure and will. It's what he wanted. So quit saying that God doesn't want you. Because if you are breathing, if you are created, if you are walking around this earth, God wants you. He wants a relationship with you. And if you're sitting in this room, he wants you in this room. If you're sitting in your heart going, I don't know about Jesus Christ, guess what? He wants you to hear about Jesus Christ. If you're here, he wants you. If you're out there, he wants you. But we're adopted into God's family through Christ. So through accepting Christ in our lives, we are brought into this family of God. But it isn't through what we have accomplished. It's through what Jesus accomplished. And in verse 6, to praise of his glorious grace, which has freely given us into the one he loves. God desires us to be holy and blameless. He didn't do this. He didn't pay the price for you to just do whatever. No. He paid the price because he's like, look, I'm doing this so you have the best ability to do so. I've paid the price. I've given you the way. I've shown you the way, the truth, and the life through Jesus Christ. I just want you to follow it. Here's all the answers. Here's all the answers to the test. Here you go. If somebody studies or somebody is told, hey, on X date, you're going to be given a test, but here's the book. And as long as you study it, as long as you read it, and as long as you go through it, you will pass with flying colors. But that test is the one test that is going to determine your whole life. In actuality, that one test is going to determine your whole eternity. Would you study? Some people are like, well, if I have a math test next week and I know that I have all the answers, I'm still going to wait until Thursday night. How do you feel on that test, though? Probably stressed out. Or you're probably kicking yourself in the butt. Like, if, I don't know if you can do that. My legs aren't that flexible. You'd be beating yourself up, right? On the day that it comes, on the day that the test is there, you'd be like, man, I had all this time. I had all the answers. I had all this ability to do well. And I chose not to. Guess what? Here's your book. Here's the answers to everything. And God has told us that there is a day that will come that we don't know when Christ will return. So why aren't we studying? Why aren't we in study groups? Why aren't we talking about this? Why aren't we trying to live our life for Christ? Because why me? Is because God loves you. He thought about you from the beginning, and he wants a relationship with you. Without any baggage or hoops to jump through, he simply wants you to acknowledge him and accept him into your heart. But then, why them? So as believers, we've been chosen for a purpose. We're called to be holy, blameless, adopted into his family, and receive his grace, and it's a great privilege. But it comes with a great responsibility. We're called to reach others. We're called to share the gospel. In Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. We are called to live our life for Christ. Accept him, learn about him, acknowledge him, but go share him. Share our life. Share who Christ is with others. It's not meant to be bottled up or put into a drawer or like, this is mine. I get this. There's more than enough for everybody, and he simply wants you to share that with others. And this task is not reserved for just pastors and missionaries, but for all who accept Christ into their heart. All who call yourself Christian are called to go into the world and share Christ with them, to invite them into a relationship with Christ. Because why them? Because God loves them just as much as he loves you. But God loves them. So look around you right now. Let's do a little process. Look around you right now. Forward, backward, I mean, whatever way you can. Do you see an empty chair next to you? An empty chair around you? Okay? Every empty chair in this building represents a person who is not here receiving the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Every chair that is empty is a chair meant for somebody that God wants a relationship with that hasn't been invited, hasn't been told where we are, or hasn't come yet. And if you've talked to people or if you've talked to them and you're like, hey, didn't see you at church on Sunday, why not? Is everything okay? We meet again next Sunday at 10:30. Would love to see you there. It's a simple invitation. No matter how much we evolve and no matter how much we get into with technology and billboards that flitter through all the stuff on the side of the freeway and everything you have on Instagram and Facebook, those are all great. Those are also ways to reach the community around us and invite them to church. But no matter what you do, no matter how much we evolve, the number one way, the best way to bring somebody to Christ is through personal invitation. So if there's not somebody sitting next to you, I would pray and ask God, who do you want me to reach? Who do you want me to invite? Who do you want me to be with in their life? Who do you want me around? And start being with them. And start asking them. And here's another challenge for you. If you think about that and you say to yourself, oh, well, everyone I know is Christian. You need to know more people. Don't get me wrong. We fellowship together. We are together. And I love that. Me hanging out with other Christians throughout the week is how I build myself up, how I get through the hard times, how I help others. We help each other. But if you're not out in the world, being around people that aren't Christian and sharing the love of Christ with them, you're not being obedient to what God has asked us to do by going out into the world. We're not fulfilling the mission that God has asked us to do. The mission of our church is to love God, love people, reach the world. You know what reach means? Forward motion. We didn't say the mission is not pull people in, stand at the door and be like, hey, come here, pulling you in. I'm not going to go out to you, but I'd love for you to come in here. No, we're meant to go out into the community because the community is not going to just walk in here. This isn't their norm. This isn't their normal place. They know nothing about it. We're called to go out into the community and reach the world around us. So every empty chair represents that person that needs to be reached by Christ. So my question is, are you going to fill an empty chair next to you? Are you going to invite somebody in to find Christ in their life? And are you going to share who Christ is in your life? If you're Christian, are you going to share that with the world around you? We can reach others by being intentional and sharing our faith, by being a living example of God's grace and love, and being open to God leading in our conversations and relationships. We were at me and Pastor Sean, I mean, he's having fun with some other men at our men's retreat right now, but earlier this week, me and Pastor Sean were at a leadership connection. And we had some talking times and things going on, but one of the things we went through is we always talk, and one of the things they like us to do is go around and say, hey, tell us what's been happening. Let us know how God's been moving or how God's been using you. And it was really encouraging to hear one of the pastors talk about how God used him to reach somebody. And I don't remember every detail of the story, but this person was basically saying, look, God, if you're real, this person's going to call me. And he didn't know. But he had a feeling. And he was like, man, I feel like I need to call this person. He didn't know why. Hadn't talked to him in months, but just had a feeling. I need to call this person. So he called him. And the person was like, man, this is what I asked God to do. Are you willing to listen in those little times? It's not, God doesn't always and most likely isn't going to come to you with a billboard that says, hey, go there, stand next to the lady in the white dress and talk to them. Or, hey, go there, talk to this guy in the suit with the briefcase standing on a northeast corner. You'll know who it is when you see him. No. It's little things. Like, hey, I should call that person. I haven't talked to them in a while. Because maybe that person is saying, God, if you want me, if you want a relationship with me, you will have someone call me right now and tell me that they love that God loves me. So don't neglect those instances. Be open to God leading your conversations and relationships. Be open to God saying, turn left instead of going right. That GPS isn't always right, trust me. It's put me in some weird situations, but God never has. So trust Him. Because as much as you say, why me? And you find out that God loves you, He also says, why them? When we say, why them? Because He loves them. He wants a relationship with them. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. Does God get angry with others? Does God talk behind others' backs? Does God use profanity? I'm guilty of that. I'm sorry. Submarine stuff doesn't go away right away. But do I try? Yeah. Have I come up with some funny words? Barfig Nugan, maybe? I don't know. But we are called to be Christ's ambassadors. We are called to show Christ in our life. We are called to live out Christ in our life. We're not called to walk in and go, I accept the Lord as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving me. Great. And then walk outside and be like, cool. What's Monday have? If you are showing no difference in your life by accepting Christ in your life, then you're wrong. If you are not living your life in a different way than how you lived before Christ, then you're wrong. Because I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that all of us before Christ were lost and broken. And if I'm living the same way after being a Christian and showing people that I'm still lost and broken, because I don't have faith in Christ, that I'm not allowing Christ to take hold of my life, that I'm not allowing Christ to be in my life, they're not seeing how Christ can change their life. But if we're living our life for Christ, if we're living our life as a living example of Jesus Christ and saying, man, I was broken, but I'm not anymore. I was lost, and now I'm found. And let me introduce you to Jesus Christ, who saved me, who continues to save me every day, who continues to change my life every day. And no, I'm not perfect, but He is, and through Him I am made whole. I am made complete. I'm never going to be complete. There's this empty hole in my heart that's never going to be filled, but Christ fills it. And every day that I wake up, Christ gives me life, gives me breath, and I want to choose to live for Him. So we have been chosen by God for a purpose, to be His children and to reach others with the gospel. And that privilege of being in the family of Christ comes with the responsibility of sharing the family of Christ with others who do not know Him. We need to embrace that calling. We need to embrace that as a church. And we need to live out our mission to love God, love people, and reach the world. We need to be willing to invite people in, even if that means changing our culture, even if that means changing what is looks normal to us. Because we need to bring them in. But Christ is going to show them. Christ through us, through our life, is going to show them. And we need to embrace that calling and be obedient to God's will, knowing that it's for His glory and the expansion of His kingdom that we are living that way. And if we do something that doesn't work, we need to not be worried and fearful about changing it. Because our primary goal should be to love God with everything we have. And when we do that, when we love God, when we love and accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we fully embrace that, then the mission of Jesus Christ becomes the mission of us. And if we're going to sit here and go, well, what does that mean? What is the mission of Christ? Well, in Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Couldn't put it more simply myself. If we love Christ, if we accept Him into our hearts, we should live out, we should want to live out the mission of Christ, which is to seek and save the lost. And ask ourselves, okay, how do we do that? How do we seek and save the lost in our community? Well, it starts with knowing our community. It starts with knowing who they are. It starts with building relationships. But when we truly love Christ and we truly live for Him, His mission becomes our mission. I'm going to invite the worship team back up. But just to remind you and to leave you with this, why me? Because God loves you. And has, since the beginning of time, and has created you with a purpose. And why them? Because God loves them and wants a relationship with them. Because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So accept it for yourself. Accept it in your own heart. And then share it to the life in your life to those around you. So, as we know, at Antioch Wesleyan Church, our mission is to love God, love people, reach the world. And we do this by reaching the community around us. We invite people in to experience the power, love, and grace of Jesus Christ in their life that we have already received ourselves, that we know in our heart. But it's time for us to take a step. Maybe it's time for you to take a step into trusting God in your life, into accepting Him into your heart. Maybe it's time for you to take a step and get deeper knowledge and grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ by joining a small group. Maybe it's time for you to take a step to serving others by being part of one of our outreach ministries, or to start your own, or to find out how God wants to use you. Maybe it's time for you to take a step and invite somebody else into that relationship with Christ that you love. So what is your next step? How are we going to remember why me, how God loves me, and why them? Because God loves them. So will you take that step? Will you fill the empty seat around you by inviting somebody in? We'll see. And pray that we do. Let's pray.